Today on Real Radio.
And I said, Dad, last night I walked into a church, I gave my heart to Christ. Did you know that Jesus, the Bible says Jesus died on the cross for us, he died for us, our sins, he rose again from the dead, and he saves us. Jesus did that. That's why there's a cross. That's why the Bible. It's all about that. And my dad said, let me see if I got this straight. Jesus came from heaven, sent by his Father, down to here to die on a cross for our sins, for people. That's right. He said, if that's true, then God's a fool. I don't want anything to do with that. I remember going like this, stepping back, because I thought the fire of hell was going to consume that chair.
Make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. In a section of chapter 12, the Messiah explains that he has actually come to divide. Our study is taken from verses 49 through 53 of Luke chapter 12. It's called It's More Than a Family Feud. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And by the way, if you find yourself in that place today or coming to that place, husband, you pray for your wife every day. You see, Jack, she leaves 2 hours before I get up, or we don't see each other in the mornings. I call her up and pray. She leaves before I do. Run out there. Take her bagel and her coffee. Lay your hands on her car as it drives up the road. I don't care what you got to do. Pray for her. Seriously, and wife, call your husband, pray for him. But men, we need to be covering over our wife, not with some heavy hand, but with an outstretched and uplift arm to pray for them. And then what about our kids? The kids growing up, as the family's growing, do the kids see or hear mom and dad praying? This is what God wants in a family. He didn't come to divide a family. But a family divides when someone either A, does not choose to walk with God anymore, they give up and quit, or an unbelieving family receives someone who is a believer now. Maybe mom or dad or son or daughter comes home and they've given their heart to Christ. It changes the whole dynamic of the home. And Jesus said when that happens, if there are those in that house who don't want to accept Christ because the Holy Spirit has moved into the life of that believer, there is going to be contention. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Man, do we know how that is. But I want you to stay true to God first. Do you love your family? Oh, yes, I do, Pastor. I don't want that division to come in my home. Listen, you got to choose today. Choose Christ or choose your family. I got news for you. Choose your family, lose it all. Choose Christ, you just might go about winning your family. Eternity is the issue at hand. Secondly, redemption is what's being offered. Redemption's the offer. The gospel, the Bible says you can be redeemed. Now watch this. You say, well, who can be redeemed? Each and every one of us personally must come to Jesus Christ. I can't give my heart to Christ and save my wife and my kids and my aunts and uncles and moms and dads automatically. Did you know that? They've got to come to faith in Christ. My salvation doesn't translate or cover over to anybody else. Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I heard a song the other day on a radio ad, on a radio program, and the guy was playing a song by Depeche Mode. That's a band. And the song said about personal Jesus on the song. And I thought, I don't know who these guys are, but they got that right. Jesus has got to be your personal Messiah, your Savior. But listen, when he is your Messiah and Savior, what should that do? How does that affect? Well, as life begins to continue on and get busy, watch this. everything's been fine and everything's been centered around Christ. Your family's growing. All is wonderful. But then the little guy gets big enough to swing a bat or kick a soccer ball. And now we can't go to church on Sunday anymore. He's got soccer. Listen, happens every day. We can't go on Wednesdays. She's got gymnastics or whatever it is. Oh, we can't do that thing or the other thing because we got to do this. I am not condemning soccer or gymnastics or baseball. But when we begin to depart, you see, from having Christ first, we scratch our heads when our kid's 13 doing dope out behind the school and we wonder how that happened. They don't think about how important God must be. They forgot all that stuff when they were little. Because you know what? As they grow along, if we're not being faithful moms and dads and pointing them in the way of the Lord in a way that is right and healthy and beautiful, if we begin to send the message to our kids, you know what? You can go to church sometime. There was a recent poll done, and I heard it this week. I believe it was from Charles Stanley's ministry in Atlanta. The conclusion was people who go to church once a month are considered regular churchgoers. Once a month! Well, I'm going to start being a regular pastor. I don't golf, but maybe I should start. I'll see you next month. That's regular now in America? Oh, my goodness. And then you expect your kid to grow up with some sort of priority that God is first? You're wishing. You're dreaming. I can't believe my kid just got this girl pregnant. How'd that ever happen? When we do not present before our kids the fact that the Lord should be number one in everything. I know you don't want to hear this. I told you before this message was going to kind of hurt a little bit. Come on, honey, let's go. He talked about soccer. We're out of here. It's not just that. It's anything. Is God first? You put him first, he'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of all. Redemption. That you and I could experience redemption through Lord Jesus Christ. Your family, our moms, our dads, our sons, our daughters might hate us for this. Did you know that? Because watch this. Can you imagine? Let's pretend for a second. It's so politically incorrect to say things that are just pure truth. Because truth alienates. Have you caught on to that? You may know the truth, but you can't say it. You get in trouble for it. I suggest you say it anyway. But you want to think of this for a moment about redemption being offered. Can you imagine if somebody very famous, I don't care who it, pick somebody, they're just very famous. They can call a press conference. That's how famous they are. Could be the president. Could be somebody really big. Can you imagine? They got all their coaches and all of the, you know, they're going to review their speech and all that kind of stuff. And what are you going to say? What are you going to do? And you get up there and you say, "Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'll just take one moment of your time. I have come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I just want to tell you that I've been redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I've become a Christian. God bless you and good night." Can you imagine what tomorrow's papers would look like? The world will come apart. But when you come into a family, sometimes it's worse. We know people who, having come to Christ, can't let their families know that they're Christians because they're from the Middle East and they would be killed. We have friends in Israel that cannot announce the fact that they're Christians because they would be ostracized out of the family. Yes, we've been mocked. Yes, we've been made fun of. More than ever, by the way, put your seatbelt on. I believe in America it's going to get worse for us. Worse, better. It depends on how you look at it. Right? It may look worse, but we're getting closer. Okay? Redemption. If you begin to say, "Dear Lord, bless my family and thank you for dying on the cross." That's it. Uncle John, his teeth were grinding. What did you mean there a minute ago when you said he died on the cross? Why did he have to die on the cross? I had that happen. I got saved on a Monday night. I came home, got up the next morning. My dad was sitting in his chair reading the Orange County Register. I'll never forget it. And I went like this with the newspaper. "You don't ever touch my father's newspaper." And he was a sergeant in the Marines. He knew judo. He could have killed me. I thought he was going to do that a few times. And I put the paper down and I said, "Dad, last night I walked into a church. I gave my heart to Christ. Did you know that Jesus, the Bible says Jesus died on the cross for us. He died for us, our sins. He rose again from the dead. And he saves us. Jesus did that. That's why there's a cross. That's why the Bible. It's all about that." And my dad said, "Let me see if I got this straight. Jesus came from heaven, sent by his Father, down to here to die on a cross for our sins, for people." "That's right." He said, "If that's true, then God's a fool. I don't want anything to do with that." I remember going like this, stepping back, because I thought the fire of hell was going to consume that chair. I was so shocked. I never talked to my dad again about that. Why is it an issue? It's an eternal thing. It's about redemption. It divides. Not only that, but listen, also this, salvation is the goal. Isn't it wonderful we're standing here today? And listen, I honestly don't care if you ever come back to this church again, as long as you give your heart to Christ. Amen. See, well, we're visiting from Schenectady. Well, get saved and go back to Schenectady. Well, we're from Baton Rouge. Get saved and go back to Baton Rouge. That's what's important. Do you know Jesus? Isn't it amazing? We get saved in a family. We're just a person. We live in a family, and we want as many of our family members and friends to come with us to heaven. And people get upset with us about it. "You're crazy." Yeah, I guess I'm crazy. Now I want to forgive people. I want to love people. I want them to do better and to know God. And yeah, I guess I am crazy. Have you guys ever, write this down, would you? It's not a Christian book, but you'll love it. It's a little tiny book. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? You ever read that book? You read that book? You got to read that book. Because the world thinks, "What are you, nuts? Jesus died on the cross, saved you from your sins. You're going to go to heaven. Weirdo." The world thinks we're nuts. That's the norm, isn't it? But when something intervenes from the outside and says, "I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I want you to be my child and to come into my kingdom. I want you to be saved. That's why I went to the cross." And you look up, instead of looking this way about, "Where's the cheese? Where's the cheese?" The cheese is right there. "Oh, I never thought of looking up." And for those of us who have looked up for many years or many weeks or who knows longer, we've been a bummer to our family, and all we want for them is to know the salvation we have. Second point this morning is found in verse 51. It's more than a family feud because life's bigger than we think. Isn't it amazing that God has given us life? Ladies and gentlemen, we are not a biological experiment. We are not some sort of a cosmic anomaly. God has engineered your life, and he wants you to know him personally, and life is much bigger. Look what Jesus said. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth?" Frankly, if you stop right there, I think the answer is yes. I heard the angels saying, "Peace on earth and goodwill to men." Isn't he called the Prince of Peace? Oh, yes. Is there contradiction in the Bible? No. He said, "Do you think I've supposed to come to bring peace on the earth?" He's announcing that the fact is, wherever the gospel goes, there's going to be division that takes place. That's why many people throughout history have blamed wars on the gospel. That's tragic. There are no wars because of the gospel. There are wars, James says, because of the evilness of man's heart. Well, life is bigger, and here's why. Because now as Christians, we love God more now. He's number one in our lives. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's what I don't like about you people. I was doing really fine. My son worshiped the ground I walked on. And then he found Jesus. And now Jesus first, and all about Jesus." And so wait, let me see if I have this right. Is he worse for finding Jesus or better? Oh, he's better, but I'm not like worshiped by him anymore. Well, wait a minute. I would rather have my kids love God more than me or anything else on this planet. Because if they love God more, then all will be well with our family. All will be well in our relationships and experiences. Because if God is loved, then you can take a big breath and relax. You guys, come on, listen to this. Think. If it's you and your wife or you and your husband, trust me on this. And you want to be married all the days of your life, and you don't want to ever be divorced or divided. You know what the greatest thing is when you think, well, what's the answer? The answer is for them to love me completely and absolutely. That's impossible. Man was not made to do that. If you want to have your husband and your wife be faithful to you and love you, they've got to love God first. It's the only way. How do you know if your husband or your wife's not messing around? You'll never know unless they love God more than you. Doesn't the scripture say it's the fear or the reverence of God, huh, that causes us to depart from evil? Think about it. What a wonderful thing it would be for everyone in our family to love the Lord first. We'd probably look like those two little chipmunks on the cartoon there, letting each other go through the door first all the time. So sweet and so nice. To love God first. We love God now as Christians more than anything, more than anyone. So Jesus said, do you think I've come to bring peace? The gospel divides because not everyone's going to love the Lord. Also this, what about loyalty? Life's bigger than we think because our loyalty now is to the Lord. This is a tough one. Because the truth of the matter is, there are some people who've been brought up in cultures and brought up in a direction of life that family's everything. Family's extremely important, and don't think I'm talking down family. I'm talking here to preserve family and strengthen family. But if we are loyal to God first, watch, our kids who have strayed, listen, any of you men out here whose wives have strayed, tune in right now. I hear it a couple times a week. My wife left me. I don't know what to do. Maybe it's on the other foot. My husband left me. I don't know what to do. Listen, stop right now and start following the Lord with all of your heart. Well, what's that going to do? Number one, it completely gets you right with God. Number two, it'll change your life. Number three, if the bum comes back or not, you are going to be doing exactly what you ought to be doing. You only win. If you today decide to follow Christ, you'll only win. And then here's the best part. I don't know if my wife's ever going to come back. Well, here's what you're going to do. And if you're a guy, you don't want to counsel with me. Because this is what I'm going to say. I want you to dry your eyes, okay? You will start living your life right now like Jesus would have you live it. And if she chooses to leave you and her file for divorce in the next 3 weeks or 3 months, let the world know that she's walking out on the best guy in the world. Let her know that you're the best thing for her. And if she chooses to do that, it's your choice. But you will have followed Christ. And in most cases, when that man decides to do that, you know what she winds up doing? She winds up coming back because she has seen someone different. No, God is all for family. But when someone chooses or decides not to follow Christ, it's a sad thing. Truth does that. Absolutes do that. And there are absolutes, contrary to what your school has been teaching you. There are absolutes. I'll give you one right now. You want to cause? Let's cause some division. Want to cause some division right now? Here's some. Any of you had debate class, logic, in your school? Check this out. This will keep you up all night. John 14:6. You say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Oh, just hang on a minute. John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way. Definite article, the. I am the way. You know what that means? It means there ain't no other way. You can debate that all day long. When Jesus said, I am the way, it excludes that there are any other ways. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth. No, I'm going to make up my own truth. No, you can't do that. You can do that all you want. It just ain't truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. And you say, well, I don't believe in that. That's your choice. I would never force you. It's your choice. I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. That word means in the Greek, there's no eternal life but the life he gives. Well, I don't like that either. That's pretty divisive. I agree. It's royally divisive. That's very intolerant. No, it gets better. Jesus said, continuing, and no man comes to the Father or gets to heaven but through me. You want divisive? That's about as divisive as it gets. And you could sit here today and say, I am not going to believe in that. Again, it's your choice. However, I highly recommend you do believe in it, because 3 days later, he rose from the dead to back up all those words. That's a serious thing. And by the way, what are you kicking against? All he does is love you. All he wants for you is the absolute best. And then when you're all done in this life, he wants you with him in heaven. Nobody wants you around, but he wants you in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Think of that. Oh no, here he comes. Draw the curtains. God opens the curtains. The phone rings, call waiting. No, I don't want to talk to her. God says, pick up the phone, call me. Jeremiah 33:3. That's his phone number, by the way. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call to me and I'll answer. Our loyalty now is to the Lord. Paul the Apostle put it this way in Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called It's More Than a Family Feud, a study taken from Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 through 53. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before we wrap up today's program, we have Pastor Jack with us sitting right here because he's got something on his heart that he wants to share with us. Pastor Jack?
That's right, Mike. I had to interrupt this program, as you well know, Mike, to make this plea to our radio audience. We had an event, and I can honestly say it was an event, at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills recently on Saturday night, September 11th. As every year we do, we host a 9/11 memorial service, but this year topped them all. The reason why is because we had an old friend back, and that was Brigitte Gabriel. And Brigitte Gabriel spoke to a record crowd here at Calvary. We lost count at over 4,500 people. The church was filled, parking lots overflowing, rooms and courtyard full to the max. And she delivered a challenge and a message to America and to the Christian that, frankly, everyone, in my opinion, in the world needs to hear. I'm asking all of our radio listening audience to get their hands on this extremely special service. You will understand why 9/11 took place. Why did it have to happen regarding those who have waged war and declared war on America? And what can be our action? What do we do in response to this agenda that is driven by hate? It's not going away, my friend. And I'm telling you now, you've got to have this message for yourself. You can order your own copy by going to realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And order for yourself a DVD copy of this tremendous address by Brigitte Gabriel on September 11th, right here at Calvary Chapel. And we'll send that out to you for a donation of any amount. We would greatly appreciate that. So God bless you, and I hope you're blessed by it. Thanks.
Okay. Well, again, that's for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. Again, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.